Welcome to the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast with a bunch of people who have way too many board games. Today we've got with us...
Justin.
Adam.
And Debbie.
And Tom. And welcome once again to my basement that is now covered in blankets to hide all the board games, to hide me from the shame.
It's very cozy, I must say.
It's actually really cold. I've turned off all the heat to try to reduce all the noise, and now it's like... 16 degrees down here.
Celsius.
Yeah, it's real comfortable if you're a Yeti.
It's brisk. It keeps you awake. Keeps you alert.
This is coming from the guy wearing a winter coat, a scarf, and gloves.
No gloves.
No gloves.
Oh, you took the gloves off. Impressive.
He needs a toque. Eh?
Well, I was just trying to get cozy.
Today we've got for you Burgle Brothers, a game by Tim Fowers, as you can see on the box, about 14 times. A cooperative game for 1 to 4 people, illustrated by Ryan Goldsberry.
That's more subtle, though.
It's not more subtle when it's right underneath the
two. Yeah, no, it's on both sides.
No.
It's everywhere.
Oh, that's branding right there.
Yeah, Burgle Brothers is a game about a bank heist. Is it a bank heist? There's just heists.
I think it's a heist in general. The beginning scenario is a bank, and there's like the Fort Knox scenario, but it's basically just trying to be Ocean's 11.
I totally agree with this. I totally agree with that.
It is always a three-story building.
It can't
not
be a
always.
Two-story.
It can be a two-story building.
A two-story, and then you do the tiles wider.
Oh, bigger.
Six by six, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, we might have to try that, Tom.
Yeah, we'll totally do that. Sorry, that sounded a little bit less enthusiastic. Yeah, we're totally going to do that.
Woo!
That sounded like I'm faking it. Anyway.
Yeah. No.
Burgle Brothers is a game where you and up to three of your friends... try to navigate your way through a building, collecting treasure, disarming traps, avoiding guards, and the ultimate objective is to loot the three safes that are on each of the floors, or two if you're building shorter, and escape through the roof to your waiting helicopter, I guess. Or I guess you'd rappel off the side.
Zipline, maybe?
That seems like the least subtle way to get out of a building, but... We got a chop around the roof.
Squirrel suits?
Squirrel suits? Yeah, maybe everybody's got a squirrel suit. I don't know. One of these guys is like a little man in a leotard. I don't think he's packing a squirrel suit in there. Or maybe he is. He's packing a squirrel. he's got a flying squirrel, but no squirrel suit.
In his pants?
Thank you.
That's right, in his pants.
Right next to the Xbox.
Excuse me? Dear.
Yikes.
Jeez. What? Anyway, Burgle Brothers is a game that was released in 2015. That is a game by Tim Fowers. I'm going to repeat that as many times as it's written on this box, so I think we're about halfway there. Yeah, it takes about an hour and a half.
Yep.
It's a cooperative type game, which means that you and your friends are all working together against sort of like an AI that's programmed into the rules. The basic idea being that you're entering into the first level of a building that is mapped out with 4x4 little tiles. You don't know what's on each of the tiles. Mm-hmm. You can put up walls in between the tiles to sort of simulate the corridors and the structure of a regular building. And there's a little guard. The guard has his own randomized pathway of patrolling the floor. And if he finds you, then you sort of lose a life. And if any one of your people loses all their lives, then the game's over, because the guy that got caught immediately rats out all your friends and everybody goes to jail.
That's Adam.
What?
For the record.
Yeah, it was you, wasn't it?
Was it?
I believe it was. I feel like it was.
I mean, we played this game. We played this game, what, 3 or 4 times? And, I mean... Look, I'm just saying that somebody got caught. I don't know who that guy was.
It was definitely you.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah. You're just not very subtle.
I think the guard just had a thing for me.
Well, that could be as well.
Yeah. Well, I think
might have been that skin tight leotard.
We got caught the first couple times because we may have buttered up some rules incorrectly.
We did. Well, I say we in the royal we sense. I had played this game before, so I assumed I remembered all the rules. I assumed wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
We petered them up more than once.
Yes. Yeah.
It's good, though, that we figured it out. Like, it was one of those games where, as we were playing it, it's like, man, we cannot accomplish this. Yeah, why is this so damn hard?
It was super hard. It'd be one of the reasons. So when you end your movement, the floor you're on, that guard is supposed to move. So there's some strategy there where you can run upstairs so that the guard on your floor doesn't catch all your friends and it gives them a chance to get out of the way. So then when we first played it, we had all the guards moving all the time. And it made for a lot of bookkeeping, making sure all the guards are moving, and it also made it very hard.
Yeah, one of the things that I find about cooperative games in general, and this one kind of in particular, is there's always a lot of like fiddly stuff going on because you're doing the rules to act as if there was another player in the game, mm-hmm. kind of thing. This one I felt was actually pretty brazen about needing you to keep track of a whole lot of things, which wasn't great. But overall, like, I think it has a really good element of difficulty to it because of how everything is set up and yeah. But yeah, it's a real doozy to figure out sometimes. Just on account of, I don't think the rule book, again, is particularly great at explaining kind of what you're doing. So it's probably best to go and find some sort of tutorial online to try to figure out exactly what's going on. Does Adam want to complain about the rule book? Is this
rule book corner?
Oh, you haven't even opened it?
No, I did stay away from it. It was all kind of set up when I got sitting down, just taking a brief flip through it. I mean, there's a lot going on in this rule book. That much I could say. There's a lot of appendices about, explaining what different cards mean, and I appreciate that very much. So, I mean, in all fairness, I would say a little under half the book is references to what various things are and what they do. But still, there's there's quite a bit going on in this book. I think a video is definitely worth it. I think a video or at very least having access to like a FAQ that you'd find up on Board Game Geek or something. Because there were, like I said, how many times did we play it, right? Until we figured out that we were missing this. And every time we played it, it's like, oh, well, we screwed up this rule, or oh, we may have missed that rule. I mean, again, that could have also just been the Justin factor, but you never know.
Well, that was definitely my fault in the second or third playthrough we did, because each level is supposed to have a staircase so that you can get to the next floor, and a bank vault so that you can rob the place and get the loot to get to the roof. So when we set up our second game, you randomize all the tiles, you make sure you have a staircase and a vault in each set of tiles for each floor. And when we got to the second floor, we were searching around, and lo and behold, there was neither a staircase nor a vault on that second story. So that, I can't blame the rule book for that. That is definitely a little human error.
And that's one of those fiddly things, right? Like, you definitely have to pay attention to your setup. Your setup has to be done. Like, there's, in the rule book, it gives you a couple, like, starting scenarios or suggested scenarios, because you have these, like, little wood, not dowels, because they're not round, but they're, like, little walls that you put up between the tiles to basically signify what it looks like if you're looking at blueprints or something. And those can be entirely randomized, right? The book has a couple kind of suggested scenarios. So there's the random factor in the sense that you can just always throw the walls wherever you want. So that's really nice. But with that, you're also kind of, there's these like little fiddly pieces where you got to make sure that you have this. And you have to make sure that this is happening because otherwise the game just doesn't actually mechanically work. But with me saying that, I'm a huge fan of this, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alerts.
Sorry. I love this game.
Supposed to save that for later.
I find that this game is a lot of fun. It can be super frustrating, but especially when you're playing with somebody like Justin. Ooh. If we want to talk about spoiler alerts here, Justin always has a different motive than everybody else playing the game.
He plays every game like it's Avalon, the Resistance, or like Battlestar Galactica. I've got my own objective right now.
Yeah, like he's a part of the game. It's like he feels like somebody needs to ally with the game. It's not you, like it's not, you know, you and your friends against the game. It's you and your friends against Justin in the game. So
Jesus. Shots fired.
But no, it's a lot of fun. Like you can definitely make some amusing decisions, and there's different ways of doing things. Like you can tell that there's some people that do things a lot. They're a lot less risk-taker-esque. And there's some people who are like, yeah, just balls to the wall, like no peeking, just walking. And some people are like, oh, you know, like I'm just going to stay here and do the safe thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So
we should probably go over a little bit about, cause you mentioned peeking. So yeah. We should probably go over a little bit about
how one plays the game.
Now it's not
inappropriate peeking for the record.
Yeah. This isn't a Japanese bus scenario.
Oof.
Oof.
Too far?
Yeah.
Too soon.
This isn't the Japanese subway. We already sort of... So, again, I'm not going to try to explain this entire game, because like I said, even in person, we've managed to fuck it up at least 3 times. But in general, you're going to set up your tiles. You're going to have a staircase and a bank vault, ideally, on each level. And you're going to have a... assortment of other tiles to deal with, like some of them are good things like a laboratory or a lavatory, which is a place where you can sort of hide out in case the cops or the guards try to find you.
Hide in the can, people. Hide in the can.
Hide in the can. Make sure you stand on the toilet. They'll see you. secret doors, which sort of let you go from one thing to another without like going through walls. There's also like a bunch of traps that activate on different conditions. Locked doors of lockedness that are locked in various forms of lockedness. So like the deadbolt takes more actions to get into, but once somebody's inside the room, they can just like unlock the door, which is nice. It makes sense. It's not really weird to try to figure out. Some of them are like keypads where you need to roll a bunch of dice to be able to figure it out. And then you always have the safe and the stairs, like I said. The stairs let you go up a floor, and then the safe is probably the most confusing part of the game. And what the way the game works is you lay out your floor. You start on one tile. After picking your dudes, which are various stereotypical
tropes.
Yeah, sort of tropes from bank heist movies. You got the guy that's just got a stick of dynamite. You've got like the spy. You've got the guy that looks like he's an old, kind of a greasy electrician. You got someone with a bird for some reason. You've got a psychic.
The scouts.
Yeah, you've got all sorts of
the mastermind
hackers.
Yeah, all the.
Did you notice that the guy with the dynamite looks like almost identical to Danny Trejo?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, he looks like that actor, yeah.
Hey, that guy? Danny Trejo is that guy. But that's a whole nother podcast.
the Danny Trejo podcast.
Don't forget the geek.
The hacker? Yeah.
Yeah, the hipster.
Yeah. So these characters are not just flavor, you know, they've all got their own special abilities. So like the Rook, who is kind of the mastermind of the whole thing, is able to move other people or swap positions depending on each character has like two sides of them. There's a beginner and advanced, and they sort of do different things. But it's I'm not going to go over each one of these. Just suffice to say that some of them are. So they're all different, and they all let you do things. So some of them give you items, some of them let you do like peek through walls, that sort of thing. So they're all very different. They're all very unique, and they're all very very cool and thematic. All of your guys start on one square, which is sort of your entry point. The guard starts on you know, you would pick the opposite end of the floor. So really, like the guard starts in one part of the floor, and then you pick wherever you want to start, depending on how the wall situation works out. And then every person gets four actions, of which you can move onto a tile. You can peek a tile, which means because all the tiles start flipped over to their non-exposed side. So peeking into a tile lets you see what's going on before walking onto it. So if you don't know what's there, you might want to peek in case it is an alarm. If you decide to move onto a tile without peeking into it, you just have to deal with the consequences of whatever happens to be there. Because if it's a motion alarm and you've triggered it, then tough tiddlywinks, you're going to be dealing with an alarm now. You can hack a computer, which some of the tiles allow you to disable alarms in the future by spending a turn now. Or spending an action now, rather. The most confusing one is that you can add dice to a safe. So you can add a die to a safe as two actions, and then you can roll the dice on the safe. What you're trying to do there is you're trying to get certain numbers, and those numbers are going to match up to numbers that are on the row and column of the other non-safe tiles that are in the row and column of... It'll make sense if you see it, but it's really hard for me to explain. So, like, if your safe is in the top left corner of the floor, you need to expose the top row and the leftmost column of the floor, and each of those tiles will have numbers on them, and you need to roll those numbers as part of your action to be able to open the safe. So if you have, like I said, the top left is exposed, and you've got like a 1, 2, 3 on the column, and you've got a 2, 2, 2 on the row, you need to roll a 1, a 2, and a 3, and you can cover off the row and column for the, it's like the combination. And then you can open the safe, and you get a piece of loot, some additional tools, and the guards are starting to get onto you. Getting loot is great, except that it's not, because they all suck in some way. So one of them is like a yappy dog, which is constantly like setting off alarms. One of the loot is just two gold bricks, so somebody has to come over and pick the other brick up. So you can't just like have one guy open the safe. Maybe you have to go running back and go help him. Yeah. And at the end of every turn, you move the guard. So there's a stack of cards which indicate where the guard is going to next. There's a die that is representing how many moves they're going to go, and they move that many. That many tiles on there at the end of every turn, and if they run past you, you lose a life. Again, if you lose all your lives, if any one person loses all their lives, you're done for, because again, they just immediately rat you out.
But you have to get. Sorry, this is the one thing that I find super confusing about this game, is so, in a sense, they are your lives. So you can lose them all, and you're still okay for one more turn. Like, you have to get caught one more time with no tokens. Like, you have to not be able to give up your your sneak, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember what those tokens are.
Yeah, the way it really works is you start the game with 3 sneak tokens, and every time a guard rolls over you, you discard one. And if you are caught without a token, then you're caught for good. And out of the game. And so is everybody else, because you're all a bunch of bastards. Did I miss anything?
Oh, I think you got most.
I don't think so. I think that's
the one of the other things that is notable is that the guards move faster the higher up you go. As the game goes on, the guards will get faster. And yeah, there's just a whole bunch of tiles that do a bunch of stuff, and they're all randomized. You never really know what you're dealing with next.
It gets a little convoluted when an alarm goes off, because then the guard speeds up when the alarm goes off, and then that just kind of like, there are, like Tom said earlier, there are like these little like tweaky things that are, that make it convoluted. Like, it isn't a convoluted game except for like these like handful of little picky pieces, right? And that's one of those things, is the guard kind of changes the way that he does something based on, you know, the number of alarms that are going off, or is, if there's alarms going off, and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, like I don't know, there's a lot of things to forget more than it being too convoluted.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of things that it's very easy to just overlook or forget, and because you're basically playing the AI for the board game as well as playing the game itself, it just, there's a lot of things that it's easy to forget.
Yeah,
without a constant reminder.
Maybe there's an app. Never thought of that.
Now that would be really good.
I'm sure there is.
You know what?
Somebody's built one for Gloomhaven.
True.
Everyone picks up their phone to check.
So yeah, we played this a few times. I mean, I've played this a bunch of times now. You know, I think the game is, like we mentioned before, the fiddly mechanics aside, it's actually, like most co-op games, I really quite enjoy this kind of game on account of you can get, you know, three people over and just have a good time without having to worry about being competitive. And there's always something that's really nice about just having a bunch of people over that are just trying to overcome something that's really hard. That's one thing about this game, is that it's really hard. We've played it like six times now, and like, notwithstanding the number of times we've managed to cock the rules up, you know, we've lost handedly every single time. Like, I think the closest we got was, no, we did.
We won once.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
We won once. It was a Christmas miracle, I'll tell you that. But I don't even remember how we managed to pull that off. Yeah, I mean, there's not much that I want to say about this game. I like the theme. The art's pretty good. It's very in keeping with the theme of the thing. All the characters are pretty cool. Like, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. There's 9 characters, double-sided, so there's tons of replay value on this bad boy. They all play very different. Even the two sides tend to play really different from one another. Yeah, I mean, we've played it like 6 or 7 times now, and I'd definitely play it again. Debbie?
Thoughts? Yeah, absolutely. First of all, it is not a racist game, which is good to see. We're starting to learn that there's a lot of racist games out there that are like solely white people.
Well, I don't think they're intentionally. Well, I mean, that was mostly just Elder Sign. That was
true.
But I'm starting to notice it more, right? Like, I'm actually starting to notice that now. But they've like gone out of their way to like put like different cultures and different colors and just like this very odd variety of people, like that you would just not put in a group together, is what makes it funny.
I mean,
to me.
I do wonder about the man in a turban looking like he's about to yoga his way off the floor.
He's my yogi.
Dalsim from Street Fighter.
But,
I mean,
he doesn't look anything like Dalsim.
No, but no. But if we're talking about
like a squat, you know, chubby man,
men in turbans yogaing themselves off floors, I mean, that dude could float. Digression.
That's true. That's true. You're not wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of this game. I'm with Tom. I've played this a fair number of times while Adam was away. I think this is one of the games that we played a couple times, you know, before. So he hasn't gotten kind of nearly as much exposure to it as we have. But I like the variety, and I like the fact that you can just kind of switch it up. The only, beyond the rule book criticism, the only criticism that I think I would have is the number of players. 4 is very limiting to me. I get that maybe you might lose some of the mechanic and some of the fun of the game. It's just unfortunate that it's only four people. I don't know. That's my thing.
Come to think of it, I can't think of a co-op game that has more than four. That definitely sucks. Like, it would be nice to be able to have, like, a party game. Yeah. You know, you want to have a few more people over. Or you always end up having, like, one extra person. Yeah. And it's like, I guess we're playing something else.
Yeah, I guess I know. How many is Pandemic? Pandemic's still four.
Four.
I guess Mansions of Madness, that one's five. That's the only co-op game that I know of. But then you're playing
against Mysterium. Mysterium's seven.
Yeah. But then there's always the one man out as well. Like, just pure co-op, I mean.
Yeah.
And that's really just playing against Justin as well.
No, that's me and Justin playing against each other. Yes. Justin and I don't do well with Mysterium together.
We have different wavelengths on that.
Yeah, we do, definitely. But no, I'm a pure lover of this game. It is a good size. It's portable. It's
It does come in a lovely little box that looks like a little building.
An office building, yeah.
Got a little helicopter pad on top. Super cool.
Yeah, I think like it's I'm happy with it. I think the only other like small minor like criticism would be the meeple-y bit things. They give you stickers to cover them so that you can put their images on them. But they change the image of the person based on if you're using the regular side or the advanced side of the card. And so that kind of makes the meeple-y thing a little weird. I've found it where we've been playing and somebody's been like, yeah, I have this guy. And they showed me his picture and I'm like, dude, I can't find him. And then I realized that I need to look for the other side of the card to figure out what I'm looking for. But I don't know. I'm a huge lover of this game. Like, they're all pretty minor nitpicky things that I'm going after here.
Hmm. Me?
Oh. Master?
I like it. The game's good. From a box perspective, since we did bring up the box in Debbie's thoughts on this. The box is nice. It doesn't take up a lot of shelf space, so I think it's an easy one to kind of slide into your collection if you are someone unlike Tom who, you know, just has a basement full of board games. If you're maybe on more of a space constriction. Yeah. Oh, he's getting buried by the games.
It's collapsing.
It's collapsing.
They're reclaiming him.
Return to nature.
Subsuming me.
It doesn't take up a whole ton of space. It's nice. The art style I like. It's, you know, I don't even know how to describe this art style. It's, I don't know. I do appreciate it, though. It's so hard to put my finger on.
It's like 70s.
Feels like, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
I like it. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all the building designs looks very kind of art deco.
It's very, it's simplistic. Deco, but yeah, like.
Well, and even it's going for like a heist movie thing on the side where it's so got like a movie poster. Yeah. It's got all the names across the top. It's very, very stylish.
I like it. The tropes are funny, but they're not obnoxious, and they don't take away from the game, which I think is a very fine line to walk. Mm-hmm. The game has a very high degree of difficulty, which is, you know, it's I don't know, it's tough. It's a tough game to beat, but when you do beat it, it feels good. But at no point do you ever feel, man, this game is impossible. Like, you always feel like you're right in it until the very end. And then, you know, something just goes wrong, which is also very, you know, similar to what you would see in some of these heist movies. I'd like it. I definitely would play it more. This is a game that I would definitely go reach for again. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this, sir?
I think that just as everyone else has said, like, the art style for the game is very is excellent. It goes through everything. Even the manual is like a little dossier on the characters. I really like the meeples because they're all color coded. And they all have an individual outline, so they're easily recognizable just at a glance. Even if you don't know what color you are, your character is on it, and it has a very unique shape. I also just like how it suits and can harm various playstyles. Because I tend to be a very aggressive co-op player. So I throw caution to the wind and I say, I need to get over there. It's four spaces away. I'm just going to run it. And I'll be on the second story and then I'll run into a walkway. And that's one of those special tiles that if you don't actually peek into that tile, you don't know it's there. I can just see my character looking backwards, just booking it down this hallway and then just careening over this edge and just falling face first on the floor below. It just, it's hilarious.
Yo, guys, I'm going to go get to the next save. hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, it's just, it has a nice amount of flavor. Or just a running past, you know, three laser tripwire alarms because you didn't know where they were there and you don't have enough actions to try to entrapment your way through them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? On the affordability scale, is this, do you know what this costs?
It's about $50 on, $40 on Amazon.
Something like that, yeah.
It's on Amazon.
So it's on the lower price range for board games.
I wouldn't call 50 lower. Like, no? 50, I think, is mid.
Mid? 50, okay.
I would say mid.
For something that is this small, I wouldn't expect to pay that much.
Well, yeah, that's why I was asking. I was thinking, like, maybe 30 to 40.
I also, as I was going to say, is this is how you design a board game box. There is no wasted space in this thing.
That's very true.
No. Everything goes back perfectly. There's no wasted space. Right. You don't have this giant coffin box. It does, sideways.
Does it actually fit?
Yeah, everything fits inside.
Oh.
Yeah, and maybe the impression that you're not getting much is on account of like the box being so small. I mean, there's a decent amount of
stuff. This has more components than a regular-sized board game box that you would retail at $60.
Yeah, that's true.
It is $47.99 on Amazon.com. $47.99. Yes, that would be in American funds.
American.
Just checking. Yep.
It's 50 Yank dollars.
So that's actually quite
50 Trump bucks.
Expensive, but that's, I mean, for playability, that's not that bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to digress. I was curious.
It's fun. Like, I think considering that I have
one or two,
a lot of games, and I've played this one like 6 or 7 times, and I haven't played some of these at all. Like,
there's some in the shrink.
That's a pretty good indication of its quality and like how it stands on my scale. And I mean, it all comes down to like what you're into. If you've got friends that are really into heist movies, like this is a great one to reach for. Yeah.
I mean, if you're not into a heist movie, like it's a solid co-op game. As long as you can remember all the little rules collectively, you'll get along just fine. Just make sure one person actually reads the rules and doesn't tell you, hey, don't worry, I know what I'm talking about.
I guess I mean like if you like scientific thrillers, you might think Pandemic. If you like kung fu movies, you might think Ghost Stories.
That's right? True.
Like, I'm just listing off examples of other co-op games that I've
themes
that I've played that I like.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, if you've got, like I said, if you're interested in, if you don't mind a little bit of rules and you know, you like heist movies, this is a good one to reach for. And also it's great for like people who aren't competitive, right? Like, that's one of the main things about co-op games, that you can get together, you can have just a really nice evening playing a game like this where you're just smashing your head against a wall collectively trying to do this thing and like laughing at the absurdity of, yeah, your buddy just like books it up a flight of stairs and then falls down a walkway and into like just outside of a deadbolt where the guard's standing. It's like, idiot.
Yeah.
I think one other side point is that even if, so yeah, we say that the rules, like there's a lot of nitpicky rules and there's a lot of little things, but unless you're like the hardcore gamer, I think even if you screw up the rules a little bit and if you forget some of them, it's still a fun game to play. Like, let's think about how many times did we replay this game before we realized, shit, like, we screwed up the rules. And so it's not like, it's a good game in the sense that you can still screw it up and have fun. It doesn't ruin the game entirely.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, I think that's what is so enjoyable about a lot of co-op games, mm-hmm. is that if you're playing a competitive game and somebody messes up a rule, that can affect your action and that can make you lose the game. And if you're super competitive, that can be really annoying, and then you might get angry at that person. Mm-hmm. With a co-op game, you can only get angry at each other, like yourself included, for forgetting, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to be moving all the cards all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that's on me. Like,
really, yeah,
sorry,
yeah, really, this is a group problem, yeah, is what you're trying to do.
It's a group problem. Sure, yeah, so yeah. Even if you're super competitive, all you can get angry at is, like, you can only get angry really at yourself for being like, oh, you know, I should have backed off, or, you know, oh, I should have run over there and set off that trap so that you wouldn't get caught. Rather than, or just being like, oh man, the stupid guard's always following me around.
Yeah.
You can only get angry at the game and not at each other, which makes it, even if you're playing with super competitive people, unless they try to tell you how to do your move, which can be a problem with any co-op game, everyone can still have a good time.
You mean Brady gets involved? Is that what this is? Oh, wow. Quarterbacking people.
Quarterbacking. Oh, okay. Wow.
All right. Yeah. Fell flat.
Adam's favorite.
Even Adam didn't get that, so.
I think he mentioned Tom Brady, and he just started getting really angry.
Sullen silences.
All right, sorry.
Scum.
Do you want to start with your review, Debbie?
Yeah, I'm, you know what, the first time I wrote this down, I'm on the 5-point scale review. The first time I wrote this down, I wrote 4 to 5. Yeah, I'm going to go with a 5. Good solid 5. It's a, like, buy it, play it, love it. It takes up not much room, and it is fantastic.
I agree with what Debbie's saying. I definitely, I'm leaning to the 9 out of 10. Point. It's the game brings enough challenge that it keeps me interested in it. I constantly think about wanting to play it again, which I cannot say the same thing for some of the other games that we have played. Again, the theme is cool. It's something, again, that I'm interested in. The tropes work. It's an all-around complete package. It doesn't take up a ton of space on a game shelf. I think that this would be an easy pickup for people who want to get a family, I mean, a cooperative. You could get your family playing this. It's not like it's too taxing to play with somebody who is not already a hobby board gamer. You could teach this easy, and I think people would enjoy it.
So one of the nice things about, like you mentioned, getting your family involved, is if one person knows the rules really well, then they can sort of keep things moving along, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Justin, where does this fit on your out of 9 with 2 thumbs star rating Michelin
tugboats? Well, Tom, I give this one a solid 4 Michelin stars. But in my actual review, I'd like to give it 2 thumbs up. This is a definite recommends. I'll drop the accent for now. No, it is, as people have been saying, it's an excellent, easily accessible co-op game. As long as one person knows the rules, it's easy for that person to micromanage all the stuff behind the scenes stuff, and everyone else can just play the game. The package and the art style is really nice. Like, it's a nice looking little board game that could easily be put anywhere. Like, I have some board games that I would not want to display in my living room, just because of some of the either bad or awkward box art. I'm looking at you, Conan.
I was going to say, you might want to explain that, because that sounds very...
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are just some, like, you know, sci-fi games that might just have, like, this weird alien on it, and I'm like, I don't want that just sitting out in my living room.
Oh, okay, okay.
Whereas this, you could just leave on a coffee table easily and just, you know, and easily break out.
Tantokore.
Yeah, Tantokore. That's maybe not another one you want everyone
well,
to
that's
see.
Where I thought you were going, and I was like, I don't know what kind of games you have in your place.
I think Conan actually has, like, Conan standing over a woman that doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or at
yeah.
least on the manual, there's just some tits.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, get that on the coffee table. Invite your parents over.
Yeah.
Like, Justin, what is this? What is this?
We need just to have
a pair of tits.
Just some tits.
Some tits. What? I've seen some tits before. In all seriousness, as long as one person knows the rules, it's very easy to pull out. It's family friendly. You don't need to be a serious board gamer and know fiddly rules and themes to get it. And I think heist movies are generally just very accessible. Like, everyone's seen some sort of heist movie. It's not as niche as a lot of sci-fi or other themes. Two thumbs, would recommend. In fact, I've already recommended it to some of my friends, and they've all picked it up and enjoyed it. So what do you think, Tom?
Yeah, well, I already have it, and I'm going to keep it.
That's good.
I would just be echoing what everybody else is saying. So we'll save ourselves the time.
I think you're keeping every game.
Well, I mean, I'm actually keeping every game, but if I had a choice, I would actually keep this game
and
chuck some of the other ones out. Because, yeah, I mean, it's nice. Like, all the reasons you guys said.
Yeah.
Yeah, really not necessary at this point. All right, so any final plugs? We got Adam.
Yeah, forthewin.com is the website. It should be launched by the time you are listening to this. Also, I stream 6 days a week at twitch.tv/forthewin, FORTHEWHYN in both cases. Twitter, Instagram, also at forthewin.
You always plugging Adam?
Well, yeah, I was going to plug Adam as well.
Oh,
I have no social media handle or anything else. So if you want to get a hold of me, please just harass Adam.
Perfect. You can find me on Twitter at Team Rage Tom. Yep. No other place. Don't bother. We're going to have this podcast probably featured on forthewin.com. Maybe it'll have its own website. We haven't really figured that out, but if you need me, send me a Twitter, or also just harass Adam. Debbie,
you can find me on Adam's channel. I am Mrs. Wynn, but you can also find me on Twitter at Mrs. Wynn, MRSWHYN.
Fantastic.
And what do we have coming up for next week? Let's go to the old randomizer robot.
World of Warcraft.
The board game.
I think this will be our first fully competitive Euro-trash, or no.
Ameritrash.
This will be our first big American title by Fantasy Flight Games. This will probably take a little bit of planning, because I think it's a 2 to 3 hour epic. So,
experience.
We'll play that, and we'll report back to you. So until next time, stay safe, have fun. Final thing is to rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes or on your... Yeah, why would you do anything else? If you want to do anything else, just don't bother.
Just don't.
You don't have anything nice to say.
If you don't have something... If you want...
I thought you meant other than iTunes. I was like, dude, Android worked. Like...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, review us. Just give us the maximum number on whatever your review platform is. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell people that you think might be interested that we're around.
Tell the homeless man that you walked past this morning.
I don't think they're...
Marker.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, tell them about this great podcast, And if you have any negative feedback, just tell Adam.
Yeah. Or give us a 5-star review anyway and tell us there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. As long as you leave the 5-star reviews, it'll really help us out.
Yeah.
So with that, without further ado, we're going to go play that game and report back to you next time. Stay safe and have fun. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.